Hey guys, welcome to another week of Move Makers. I am most excited for you to meet the guest this week. Not only is she so fun, but has become a good friend of mine, and she creates a product that, if you know me, I'm kind of addicted to, and that's earrings. So I'm so excited for you to listen to Naomi's story from Dixie Bliss and learn about her as a small business owner and in life. So welcome, Naomi.
Oh, thanks, Angie. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you and for our guests, to our listeners, to hear all about you. So why don't you tell, I know I already gave you an intro and I say this every time, but why don't you let people know your business name, a description of what you do, and where are you located?
Sure. So the business name is Dixie Bliss, and we are a wholesale brand for earrings. We do earrings only right now, and we sell our earrings to boutiques across the country and in Canada. And so we sell to both brick and mortar boutiques and online boutiques. And something that makes us unique is that we don't sell retail to the public, so we're never the competition to the boutiques. Also, everything is hypoallergenic. And we also offer zip code protection, which is kind of throwing it back old school, but I think it's a fun thing that our retailers really like about us. And we are in Mississippi.
In Mississippi, okay. That's what I was going to say. I was like, yes. I think she's in Mississippi. And so I was met you. I'm trying to think the first time I met you live.
Probably at the first Equipped conference in May of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I knew you, but like the first time I met you, and I knew you were like the earring girl, and so you are my people, because yes. I usually today can't see me, but usually I have earrings in. So, tell us about your family.
Okay. I have been married for 13 years, and I have a 12-year-old son, and we homeschool. So that's a fun juggle, doing the business plus homeschooling. And I moved away from my hometown for a little while, for about 5-6 years, something like that. And we've moved back, and we've landed next door to my parents, which is fun. And so it's all good. It's just super fun, small town.
I did not know you homeschooled.
Yes.
I knew you had a son, but I didn't know you homeschooled, because we homeschooled before I started the brick and mortars. But,
right.
And my daughter begged the summer for me to homeschool. And it's not something that's ever off the book, but that's really cool. So yeah. You're like me, you left your hometown and you moved back. Mm-hmm. And you're next to your mom and dad. That's fun. And you have like this cute little place where you do all your work, because I see like on yes. stories, like you have this cute little, like, yes. what do you call it?
We call it the studio.
Okay.
So originally I was calling it the barn, because it's one of those prefab buildings. It's a lofted barn, so to speak. And so it was dubbed the studio, and we finished it out all pretty, because I work better in a pretty clean environment. And that's where we do all of our earring work now.
Very cool. I've seen some fun pictures of you and your son out in the studio.
Yes.
Can you tell us why you decided to start your business?
Yes. So I had semi-recently left a work environment that was kind of toxic, not the greatest. And I still wanted to contribute to the household at least a little bit. But also I really just needed something to do. I needed a hobby, you know, because homeschooling and running the house is not enough, obviously. So really I just needed a hobby. And it turned into this thing. I really just wanted to earn a couple $100 a month, maybe $500 a month. And it just turned into this whole thing. It was never the plan. So it's very interesting.
It was never the plan. I hear that a lot in small businesses. I was talking to a friend and she's like, I just bought a can of paint and it was never the plan. Like, or mm-hmm. I just, you know, did this, or I started making a wreath and it was never the plan. Like, it's funny how us creatives work. So you are a busy girl with your earrings and homeschooling and all the things. What is the best thing or things about running your own business?
I would say setting my own schedule is one of the best things. Now, you know, the flip side of that is it could be one of the worst things if you're, you know, a little scatterbrained and such. But it's definitely, it's still one of the best things. But also the feeling of accomplishment you have at the end of the day and the end of every week and at the end of every month, it's something that I've never found like in a J-O-B. It's different. There's that sense of accomplishment. You created the things to do. You came up with the things you needed to do. You did them. You crushed them. You killed them, or you might have failed at a few of them. But it doesn't matter. That sense of accomplishment is totally different when it's your own business.
Very cool. Most, you know, we mostly talk about our flexibility and being able to do the things, but I love that you talk on something that's a little bit different, and that's the accomplishment within us. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes as moms, and maybe you agree or don't agree, as moms, we put so much in ourselves into our kiddos and our family and making sure everything's okay. And we kind of start in a way losing little pieces of us that way. And so with starting the job and feeling the accomplishment and feeling like, look what I can do, look what I can figure out, that I really think that's cool that you shared that. What have been your struggles? We're just going to get right into it. Like, we're not going to sugarcoat this. So I just, this is like my favorite part of the podcast, is it's the real part, because we can talk about the flexibility and make like all that sound just amazing, but mm-hmm. there is the struggles and they're real. So what would you say that you have struggled most with?
Perfectionism, hands down. It's oh girl, don't get me started. So our mutual business coach gave me the royal smackdown one day about it. She was like, no, this is your last day to be a perfectionist. And I said, yes, ma'am. So perfectionism, really, it really is. So part of that stems from being the oldest girl in a large family, you know, you, and being a type A personality, just get those things done, that kind of thing, but getting them done correctly. And then when it comes to pretty things, which is a lot of what I deal with, I want the pretty thing to be the prettiest it can be. But so, if you're looking for perfection, 99% of the time, you're not going to find it. There is no perfect that's for everyone. So it's just this really, really vicious cycle you can get into. So that's something I am working on constantly, is the perfectionism monster.
And that's interesting for someone looking from the outside in. I don't see that in you. Like, I don't see that battle within you. So thank you for sharing that, because that is, you know, something that you is close to you, and you don't show that perfectionism. So how does it hold you back? I'm going to take it a little bit deeper. Sorry, we're going to go deeper on that.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm here for it. So basically can paralyze you. For me, that's how it works for me. It can paralyze you. You want to get this thing done. The thing might be something that nobody cares about, or the thing might be something really huge. Like, it could be a product that you're going to send to a million people or whatever. Or it might be like an ad campaign that everybody's going to see. And it can freeze you completely to where you get nothing done. You don't do it at all. You don't even start it because mm-hmm. you want it to be perfect. And obviously that stems from a fear of failure. Or a feel of being perceived as a failure, which is probably the true reason. So it will trip you up. It will make you just like literally freeze in your tracks. And so I find myself almost daily having to be like, okay, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows it's not perfect. Nobody knows what your original plan was. It still looks really good, or whatever the thing is. So just do it. Not to put out crappy work, but it's good enough. especially if you're a perfectionist, it's probably good enough 2 hours ago.
Right. So like you can keep going and going, and that time, that 2 hours that it would have been okay 2 hours ago have now been used up, still trying to make it perfect.
Exactly.
Well, you talked on a word, failure and failing. Sorry, girl. It's like my favorite F word in the whole wide world.
That phrase.
It's failure. And we've all done it. And some of us have done it where everyone's watching it. And some of us have done it where no one's watching us. Can you tell us where you feel like you failed or you failed and how you got back up?
Okay, there's a couple of different ways I could go with this. So one example would be failure would be just not doing a thing, mm-hmm. not doing an important thing. And that just comes back to perfectionism though. So I think probably what I'd rather say is one of the biggest things is I've had only a couple of situations where I failed to listen to my gut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty good about it, but these couple of times, I don't know what in the world, but I just did not listen. And it came back to bite me in a bad way. So I would say, and it's just in certain situations. And so people that struggle with fear in general may not have a great grasp on what is fear and what's their gut feeling, I guess.
Okay.
But in general, I can usually tell. I'm like, you know, So I don't know why, but I get this weird vibe about this situation. No mm-hmm. idea why. There are no physical signs of anything. And it's just, And I know that's my gut saying, let's not do this. It's not just, oh my gosh, I'm terrified because I'm just going to go on to a podcast and get interviewed. That's not my gut. That's just me being crazy. That's just me being human. So, those couple of situations, they turned into a sort of failure. One of them cost me a few $1,000. It was crazy, but you know. But it taught me to let go of the feelings towards that person or that situation. Mm-hmm. To not be bitter, because that'll just hold you back forever and ever in everything. It can hold you back in other stuff that's not related to your business. And then I feel like over the last year or so, since those couple of situations have happened, I have fine-tuned listening to my gut even more. So hopefully I won't have to learn those lessons again.
I think that's so interesting, because as creatives, we can keep pushing and we can keep going and we can go 20,000 miles an hour. And, usually we think of failure as something like physically we did, but I love that it's the simplicity, but the hardness of listening to our guts and not going that way. Because I mean, a situation this year is exactly that. I did not listen to my gut. And yeah, it really has been a huge stumbling block, and that's what it was. So just a really cool perspective of, we always think failure has to be a physical thing, and sometimes it's just in us that we're not listening. Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about your struggles and we've talked about a failure. Let's talk about strength. What do you think is your biggest strength in business?
Well,
and you have a lot of them, because you're amazing.
Oh no, girl. I don't know. Let's see. So is it bad if I also say listening to my gut for this one too? Because like my gut's only, it didn't let me down. I let my gut down, right. But I listen to my gut when I have a business idea and I think about it and I can't get rid of the idea, not just because it's exciting, not because, oh, it might make a lot of money or I might get noticed by somebody on social media or whatever. I might get recognized. If I can't let that idea go, that's my gut telling me this is where you need to go. Whatever it is, if it's I don't know, an email campaign or a product or a new line or whatever. So I think listening to my gut, but also another one is asking for help from professionals. It took me a little while to learn this one, but I think I've got it now. And I'm like, yes, yes, girl, go hire somebody.
Exactly.
So, for instance, I hired a bookkeeper and it's been life changing. So, you know, for under $200 a month, I never have to do all that paperwork. I review it after they do it for me to make sure everything's all good, but I don't have to do that. And that's something my creative mind absolutely hates. And so it's $200 or whatever, well spent every month. So looking to professionals for help instead of trying to DIY everything, which is what a lot of us like to do, because most, not most, but a lot of business owners are creatives in some way. So I think asking for help and not trying to DIY everything.
And you can't do everything. And I think sometimes as creatives, we might have some control issues.
Never. I don't know what you're talking about.
What is this rubbishness?
Yes, definitely.
And so we think that we have to do everything and we have to figure every step out. And the bookkeeping girlfriend, when I had someone doing it for me, oh, it was like the angels were singing every month, because I was like, just, that's great. I'll review it. Just, I didn't have to do, you know.
Yes.
So I get you. Like,
yes.
There's just like something really good about that.
It's like the best thing since sliced bread, for real. All these people are like, no, I just do it myself. And I'm like, are you crazy? It would take me 5 days every month. 5 days, and I would be angry.
Exactly. I would not be happy and it would just not be good. And what can I do in those 5 days that would be something, bring my business money, or that could bring me creativeness to create the next thing? I think that sometimes we think, well, we can do it all, but exactly, it could take us 5 days, but in that 5 days, we could create a whole new line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. Let's talk about your product for 1 second, because you are a product, not just an online blogger or thing, that you have a product. So it comes on this cute little black pineapple. I don't know why I almost called it a watermelon. It's a pineapple. I know this.
Well, we were discussing earlier, words are so hard today. So
they are. I like had to pause. I'm like, what fruit is a pineapple? And so it comes in a set of three, which is unique, because most of the time, you know, it's a set. They all coordinate somehow, correct?
Right. Yes. So that is definitely our signature product, is what we call a trio. So you get three pair of stud earrings all on one cute little card. So they're perfect for gifting just because of their presentation. So that is our signature piece, is the trio, but we also offer duos. So it would be two pair on a card.
Okay.
We do offer singles because we had a lot of demand for them, especially certain things where you might not could build a trio, like sports themed items, baseball, softball, soccer, things like that. And then we just introduced, genuine leather dangles and acrylic dangle earrings. So we're branching out from the studs and doing some big things.
And I have to say that every time I see you, I'm like, can you please, and I said this before we got started, can you please just take those out of your ear and I'll take them. Thank you.
I have got to send you some. I will send you some, I promise.
But what's really fun about your business and unique about your business that most makers don't do is you are only wholesale. You only wholesale. There is no, I can't call Naomi and be like, hey, I want to order, because I'm not a wholesale account.
Correct.
Tell me why you chose that.
Okay. So it was a very interesting thing. So I actually, when I got started with the business did not start out as wholesale earrings. It was retail accessories. And I decided retail wasn't for me online. for a social media type boutique. It wasn't for me. But while I was doing that, I struggled with a few jewelry vendors to get my items from them that were earrings and necklaces and things. And I saw a bunch of my boutique friends struggling with the same thing, not having good communication and customer service from their accessory vendors. And I was like, okay, well, there's a gap. I can fill that gap. And I did. So that's how we moved into that. And the corniest reason I really wanted to do wholesale was I didn't want to have to deal with sales tax. Isn't that silly?
No, that's reality. The paperwork and remembering to file it and I get ya. Like,
yeah,
a 2-brick-and-mortar owner. Let me tell you about sales tax.
Right. I know. So we still have to file, but you just file a 0 and it's so there's no actual paperwork. You just like click a button basically. So that was the main reason. I was like, I know my personality. This is before I got a bookkeeper. I was like, I can't deal with that. So I said, well, we're going to do this wholesale. And if you want to buy from me, you have to show me that you own a business and then we'll go from there. So we did that. And then what I found was people appreciated that I was not their competition online, because most brands, not all, but most brands these days, they have multiple channels of sales. So they're going to sell at the markets, at Atlanta and Las Vegas and Dallas. But then they also are going to sell on Orange Shine, on Fair, and on Fashion Go to boutique owners. But then they have their own website that's probably their brand name. And they sell retail to the public for barely over wholesale. So it just creates this, the way we've done it, it creates this really strong sense of trust, a strong bond with our retailers. And they've really come to appreciate that. And I hear almost weekly, I'm so glad, you know, that you're wholesale only. It just takes some worry off of them that they're not going to have to stop carrying the brand in a few months because all their customers realize they can go get it, you know, from our website, because we don't do that. They can't.
And I just think that's really cool because, you know, a lot of times it is that what's that 7 different funnels of income that I can make. And mm-hmm. have said, I want to create a family of my wholesalers. And you mean this much to me that this is how important you are. So I think that's unique in your business. And I love that about your business and about your story and your walk. What advice would you give to someone thinking about starting their own business?
Don't be scared. You're going to be scared, but don't let it paralyze you. And then ask for help from the professionals. They can help you. It might seem big and scary, like when you call a bookkeeper, because, you know, everything's scary when you haven't done it before. Mm-hmm. And you might have these crazy, wild, vivid dreams of the bookkeeper being like, you haven't been keeping your books correctly. We can't work with you.
That's not reality.
That's not how it goes.
That never happened.
No. That, like, man, my bookkeeper is my BFF. Okay, not really, but whatever. Same for my tax guy. He's great. He puts up with my crazy. He doesn't yell at me like you kind of might imagine, because you know you don't have it all together. So yeah, definitely ask for help from professionals. And now I'm not saying go out and spend $1 million on all the things at first, but you can pay somebody to set up your business if you're not comfortable doing it yourself, you know, and if you need to save up that few $100 to pay somebody to do it for you or whatever the thing is, and they will help you and you will feel so much more confident if you have a little bit of help from professionals for the areas that you're not comfortable with.
Yeah. I always said that the best money I ever spent when I was opening my first store was a coach. It's the first check that I wrote, like the first debit was our mutual business coach. I had her as a one-on-one coach back in the day. And that was like the best money spent, because it really taught me to search out the professionals, search out where I lack someone else. You know, that's what they do. So I always say, I can tell you what paint color to paint, but I can't tell you how to do a spreadsheet. Like,
yeah,
I just can't.
Yeah. And I'll be like, yes, you need those earrings. And that's all I can help you with, because I don't do numbers.
Yep. So that kind of touches on my next question, and it might be the same answer. So you might be like, same, but that's okay. What is something you wish you knew before you started? Like, if you could go back and tell your little baby business self, what do you wish you would have known?
Okay. So my knee jerk answer is I kind of wish I knew how it was going to explode and grow the first year. But as I look, as I'm talking myself through this answer, I'm like, no, I probably would have run away and hidden if I had known. Because it's just, because in the first year we went from, like, you know, 100 pair of earrings sold in a month to 1 month, I think we did 8,000 pair of earrings. That was all in the first year. And so it just, it was crazy. So I kind of, like, looking back at it now, I kind of wish I had known, because I would have set things up more appropriately, you know, to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like I probably wouldn't have started if I'd known how big it was going to be. I thought it was going to be, like, you know, a few hundred dollars a month hobby. And it's just turned into this crazy thing.
Which is awesome. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Uh-huh. How many stores are you in? Do you know that?
We have about 200 retailers right now.
Girl, that's amazing.
Now, not every single one of them are active. That's a really hard number to pin down. But we have about 200 retailers. And our core active girls are probably about 50. But then, you know, there are those in between. They kind of, you know, fade in and out, or they just buy for the holidays and things like that. So it's pretty wild.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
It's so cool. Can I ask you some fun questions?
Sure.
All right. Podcast listener or book reader?
Oh, girl. I tried to read a book this summer. That was a wasted $25. Let me just tell you. It's sitting in my desk right here with me now. It was Profit First. I emailed my bookkeeper and I was like, okay, look, I tried. But do y'all offer training on Profit First method? Because I can't get through this book. She said, yes. Here you go. So definitely a podcast junkie.
All right. So can you give us a couple of your favorites?
Sure. Okay. So I like Jennifer Allwood. I listen to hers all the time. I have become a fan of yours. And then I also listen to a handful of other ones. Amy Porterfield.
Okay.
She's really good for technical things that you need to implement. I like that. And then I have a whole bunch of other ones on my list, but those are probably my top handful.
Okay. It's funny because probably all my podcast listeners are like, everybody that you talk says Jennifer Allwood. Guys, it's a really good podcast. Like,
for real.
It really is. One of my top ones that I listen to. Favorite food to eat?
Coffee.
Not, you don't eat it.
Well, if you had asked me this question before I went, you know, on my weird diet for health issues, it would have been pizza. But I don't eat pizza, so coffee. Right.
So we'll give you coffee, and you're okay. Because we had the conversation before. I don't like it. I don't even like the smell of it.
That was almost a deal breaker. Like, I was like, we can't do this podcast since you don't like coffee.
And if you guys don't know, the humor in that is I owned a coffee shop. So there's some humor in that. So, but yeah, no, sorry. Next question. It's always interesting what my creative friends answer it as. Favorite TV show, movie of all time, or Netflix series?
Okay. Hashtag don't judge me. Supernatural. But I don't have TV. Nobody tell me what's happening on the last season that's airing right now. We Netflix only, so nobody spoil it for me.
We don't have cable. We have like an antenna, like one of those flat antenna things.
Yeah.
I get it. Supernatural. I've never watched it.
Okay. Well, there are mixed reviews about it because it involves, you know, ooky spooky things and
maybe some commercials. Okay. I have to, like, cover my eyes.
Maybe it's not for you, but I love it.
I'm like such a wimp that way. There's a commercial right now for a movie, and I'm like, I like cover all my girls' eyes, and like I'm covered, and like no one can watch. Like it's just like, and I'm like, la, 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 like all through it. That's what a big wimp I am.
I'm dying. Okay, don't watch Supernatural, especially the first episode.
Okay. Yep. Can't do it. Like my best friend loved scary movies in high school and she'd always try to make me watch them. And I like would just cry and cover my head. Like I couldn't do it. And finally she stopped because she's like, this is torture for you. I'm like, it is torture. Like, stop. Not a scary movie girl. Sorry.
It'll be okay.
Okay. Yeah. This is always a question that everyone is like, it's hard. So are you ready for it?
I guess. All
right. What would be the one thing if someone could take away from this podcast? I always say like the tweetable thing, I don't tweet, but like that one thing, someone listening, what advice or what wisdom would you like to give them?
That is kind of hard. Let's see. Well, I think the easiest thing to pick out from what we discussed would be don't be scared to ask for help from professionals. They don't cost $1 million. And they can do things right. So you don't get in trouble and things like that. But basically you can do it. Don't be scared. I would set monthly sales goals and I'd be like, there's no way I'm going to do this. That's such a big goal. And I would hit it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how? But if you never set that goal, you're not going to hit it. Mm-hmm. So do the things, even though they might seem crazy or wild or out of reach. So just don't be scared to try.
I like that. I like that you touched on the goal. If you don't set it, you're never going to hit it. Mm-hmm. If you don't ever put it out there, what are you reaching for?
Yep.
Like that. So do you have anything new or exciting coming up that like I can get like the, you know, the down low before everyone else does? That was a question that just came out of nowhere.
Well, I know your listeners can't see, but I'm going to show you. We have some fun.
Oops, oh my gosh. Here we go. Adorable.
Yeah, so don't tell anybody. Well, they'll probably have already come out by the time this airs. Super cute buffalo plaid, and we have them in red and white. Big dangle earrings with gold. They're super fun.
Okay, so if anyone's in my area, like, please pick up Dixie Bliss so I can buy it.
Yes, just go to DixieBlissLuxuries.com and click Become a Retailer and fill out the form.
Like, please, so I can come buy earrings from you.
Yes.
Those are adorable. Yes, most definitely. Well, Naomi, thank you for your time and your wisdom and all that you are. I have so enjoyed getting to know you, and every time that I can see you in person, I just value our time to sit and talk. So thanks, girl, for coming on my podcast, and it has been a joy.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Yeah. It's so fun. I wish we were closer, but maybe I need to travel to Mississippi one of these days.
Yes, girl.
Come check out that studio and those cute llamas sitting behind you. You guys.
Yes.
That cute little llama picture behind her.
Yes, girl. We love our llamas around here.
That's funny. So, well, thanks for being here. And I'm sure we'll talk soon. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. It was so much fun to bring you this amazing guest. If you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? And if you could leave a review, that helps us so much in ratings and getting the podcast even more listeners and even more amazing guests like this one. So until next week, keep moving.